Amen. I want to preach this morning. We'll just answer three questions. Actually found in the book of Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. And that scripture says this: is there no balm in Gilead? Question number one: is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Number two. And question number three is, why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? But before we get on to those three questions, let me just read to you the context of the what's leading up to those three questions being asked. So I'm going to start reading in verse 13, and read through to the end. This is perhaps an unusual reading in the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 8, verse 13 says this: I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grapes shall be on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. And the leaf shall fade, and the things I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter the fortified cities. And let us be silent there, for the Lord our God has put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and there was trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they have come and devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell in it. For behold, I will send serpents among you, vipers which cannot be charmed, and they shall bite you, says the Lord. I will comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Listen, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images, with foreign idols? The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? You see, what led up to those three questions being asked of God's people? You know, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? You know, why is there no recovery for the health of my people? Well, if you read the earlier chapters of Jeremiah, you'll see that God's people had gone away from him. They deserted him, and Jeremiah 2 puts it like this, that they'd gone after other supplies, other source of supplies. You know, God's complaint against his people in Jeremiah 2 was this, that they had deserted him, they'd forsaken him, they'd gone away from him, and not only if that wasn't as bad, if that wasn't the worst thing, he says they've gone after other gods. They've chased after other supplies. And God likens it in chapter 2 to leaving him. He says he's the fountain of living waters. And his people have deserted him and drunk from another cistern, another supply. You know, through these early chapters of Jeremiah, God is gently calling his people back to himself. You know, come back to me. You know, let's return, he says. You know, turn from your ways and come back. And that's why God's people are in this position they're in chapter 8. There's no grapes on the vine. There's no figs on the fig tree. You know, the leaf is withering and fading on the trees. They're drinking bitter water. The water of gall to drink. Because we've sinned against the Lord. We've gone away from God, and we've deserted God. That's the reason God's people are in such a mess. He said, and then they said, we're looking for peace. But nothing good comes. No, we're looking for God. We're looking for something to satisfy us, but there's nothing there of any good. We're looking for a time of health. And all we've got is trouble. Then the scripture talks about these serpents, these snakes, which will come upon them and bite them. And God's people end up asking this question, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not God in his house? Is not God who he says he's going to be? Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? You know, let's be absolutely clear this morning that God is head of his church. You know, God is in the midst of his people today. Jesus promised that he would be right in the midst where we met, and we've got the promise of God that he would never leave us or forsake us. But here, the people of God, it's almost as if God had turned their back on them. You know, where's God? And that's what we hear that today, in the, you know, when things go wrong, when something happens in the world. Well, where's God then? All this trouble going on. God's right where he said he would be. You know, many years ago, I wrote an article, put out a little leaflet. And on the front of the article was the words, bringing Britain back to God. And I took it to a printer to get it printed and get it produced in a quantity. And the man in the shop, the printing fellow, he said to me, he says, you've got that wrong, surely. He says, surely we should bring God back to Britain. No, God's never left. God has never left. He's never left us, he's never deserted us. We've turned our back on him. It's Britain that's got to come back to God. It's the church that needs to come back to God. It's his people that he calls to come back. And we'd have to pray God come back to us. No, he's never left us. And that's really what God's people were praying. You know, why have you left us, God? There is not the Lord in Zion. It's not her king in her. And I like this. Actually, I was going to have this verse 20 on the front of the bulletin for this month. You know, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. Do you know the summer's ended? You'll know it this week. Apparently you're going to know it this week. Summer's over. You know, it's gone. The harvest is past. Summer is ended. And we are not saved. In other words, what God's people were saying is, look, we've come through the harvest when we expected to reap a good harvest. We've come through that. We've come through the summer. We've come through the sunshine. We've come through what was supposed to be the good times. And still we're not saved. Still there's no help for us. Still there's no relief or recovery. You know, maybe we're going through something like that in our lives at this present time. Maybe we're looking, well, God's promised me this, and he's promised me this, and it doesn't seem to be working that way. It feels like I've come through the harvest, I've come through the summer, and still I'm not saved. Still I've got no recovery. Still God doesn't seem to be in Zion. And that's why the questions are asked then. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healing balm in Gilead? Now Gilead was famed for its medicinal plants that grew there. You know, Gilead is sort of a mountainous region that's north of, well, it's about halfway between the Dead Sea and Galilee, if you look at the map of Israel. And Gilead is this region of, in the Jordanian plateau, which was mountainous. But in that place, in that land of Gilead, there was a lot of plants that were grown for their medicinal qualities. You know, Gilead is quite well known for that. That's why this question, you know, is there no healing balm that's going to come from Gilead? Even out of all the medicinal properties that Gilead was wealthy in, is there nothing from Gilead that can satisfy and meet our need? Well, actually, the name Gilead means the mound of testimony. You know, you can only have a testimony when you come through something. When you come through some test. That's why it's called a testimony. When you come through some test, you've got a testimony of the deliverance of God. And how God has met your need. You know, Gilead means the mound of testimony. The mound of perhaps recalling what God has done. Remembering what God has done. Giving thanks for what God has done. You know, I want to go to a scripture in the book of Genesis. We'll look at a man from Jacob. And in Genesis 32, we read that Jacob is crossing through the land of Gilead. He's going through Gilead. And he comes to a place. Verse 22, it says, this is Genesis 32, verse 22, it says, he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He's coming into the land of Gilead. He's crossed over the ford of Jabbok into the land of Gilead. And he took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he, talking about God, blessed Jacob there. You know what? As Jacob crossed through Gilead, as he came to Gilead, this place where there was medicinal balm, healing properties, healing qualities, he came to Gilead, and God blessed him. He met with God, he struggled with God, and he said, I'm not going to leave, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Church, that needs to be our attitude. We need to grasp onto God and say, we're not going to let go of you, God, until you bless me. You know, if we're looking to the Lord for something, don't let go until God's blessed you. Too often we're put off and we say, oh well, maybe it wasn't God's will after. Don't let go until God's blessed you. You know, be like Jacob. You know, hang on. Now it might be a struggle. It might be that you've got to fight. And the scripture calls the fight of faith, the good fight of faith. It's going to be a struggle, but you've got to lay hold of what God's got. You've got to hang on in there until God is blessed. And don't let go. You know, is there no balm in Gilead? Yes, there was plenty of balm in Gilead. No ace there, no physician there. But Gilead was famed for its physicians. Of course there were physicians there, but God's people had lost sight, really, of what God was going to do for them. It's because they'd gone away from it. What we see in Jeremiah is that not only have they gone away from God, and they've gone in search of other gods, but in the early chapters, I'm not quite sure which chapter it is. Chapter 3, something like that. Yes, chapter 3, verse 3, it says this. It says, the showers have been withheld. There's been no rain in the land. There's been no rain. That's why there was no figs on the fig tree. That's why there was no olives on the olive tree. That's why the leaves of the trees were withering and fading. Because there'd been no rain. There'd been no blessing. There'd been no refreshing from God. But God says, well, come back to me first. Those of us that are within, let's... Maybe we've let go of something that God's promised us. But he says, well, come back, he says, and grasp onto it. You can pick it up again. Don't think it's gone for good. God's promised you something, and perhaps you've let it slip, and you've not chased after it, you've not pursued it. Just go back to God and pick it up where you left off. Go back and pick up that promise that God promised you years ago. And say, God, I'm not going to let go of this time until you bless me. Be like Jacob. Have that determination that God is... You're not going to let go of God. God's not going to leave that encounter. You're not going to go from him until you've got what you've been seeking for. But most importantly, we've got to go back and pick up where we left off. In the Old Testament, another scripture in the book of Hosea. Again, it's the word of God, and he's saying this. He says, look, he says, come and let us return to the Lord. This is chapter 6. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. He's going forth, he's established as the morning. Then he will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. See, if we don't let go of God, God will heal us. God will bind us up. I'm not talking about binding up to shut us down, but binding up the wounds. Dressing. That's what that scripture's talking about. Like you would put a bandage on a wound you've got. That to heal and to recover. After 2 days, he will revive us and quicken us and make us come alive again. The third day, he will raise us up, that we might live in his sight. Then he will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain, to the earth. Return to the Lord. Is there no balm in Gilead? Yes, there is. We can return to the Lord and find healing. Is there no physician there? Yes, there is. We come to God, the great physician, the great healer, the master of every situation. He will bind us up. He will heal us. He will recover us. Why then is there no recovery for the daughter of my people? There is recovery. There can be recovery. God has promised that he will come and revive us. He will come and heal us. He will come and bind us up. He will come and refresh us with the former and the latter rain together. I like what it says in Psalm 60 verse 7. God speaking, and he's talking in a... He mentions a whole load of names and different things to the psalmist. And one of those things he says, Gilead is mine. Gilead is mine. Gilead is God's this morning. And all that we need can be found in him. We need forgiveness of sins. We've got something in our life which is not, we can run to him and find forgiveness. We've got a problem that we're going through. We can run to the water and find He is our help. He is the source of all our needs.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, we've got a problem in our body. Perhaps a sickness. We can run to Him, the great physician. There is balm in Gilead. There is healing in God. There is salvation in God. There's deliverance in God. But what we've got to do is what He says here in Hosea 6:1. He says, come, let us return to the Lord. Let us come to the Lord. Let's give Him our hearts, give Him our lives. Give Him everything we've got. Like Jacob of old. You know, we're not going to let go of God until He's blessed us, until He's forgiven us, until He's healed us. And then we don't let go, we keep holding on. I was going to say hang in, but that makes it sound like you're struggling to get by and you're just hanging in there. But, you know, hang on. You know, perhaps they don't, not quite the same today, the young ones, but, you know, but when you're somewhere busy, you know, mother and child, hang on to each other. Now they try and pull away, but you know, we've got to be like the mother, hanging on to a little child. Hang on to God. You know, keep hold of Him. You keep Him in your heart. I'm not going, Lord, until You've blessed. I'm not going until You've saved me. I'm not going until You've delivered me. Yes. Is there balm? Is there no balm down yet? Gilead, yes there is. There's plenty of it. Plenty of help from where that came from. Because Gilead belongs, or Gilead is. You know, Jesus is known as the balm of Gilead. He is the balm of Gilead. You know, we can find all we need in Him this morning. Hallelujah.